We have our first image up I wanted to show. This is Massachusetts, just a few matter of days ago from that storm that came up the coast. The point is that people living in this part of Massachusetts were not expecting this storm even as much as a week beforehand. The second image that is coming up, these are my daytimer pages. I'm still old school. I still do the paper side. I'm keeping the paper industry going and doing my part for that. But you see the 2016 on the left, 2017. I carried around 2016 this past entire year, never getting all the events from 16 that I had forgotten to 17 to 18 now. So I took some time and did that this past week. Finally, in 2018, I finally took care of 2016 as a model of time management, if you want to know that. But part of what happened when I started to go through 2016 is I started and pretty much went through week by week, month by month, and my mind went back to January 2016, thinking about January 1, January 2, 7, never realizing that on January 29th of 2016, Cindy and I would be in a doctor's office hearing she had cancer. That came to my mind again this past week. We didn't see that coming. We didn't see that wave coming. You know what I'm speaking about. As I went through 16 and 17, your names, your situations, your circumstances came up over and over and over again, and I realized that we really do not have any idea what 2018 holds. We don't know what the rest of this month holds, let alone the rest of the year. But here's the key. We've already talked about it. We do know who holds tomorrow, don't we? That would be a good time for somebody to go, amen. Amen, right. Every now and then, there's some that it's just, you got to do that. We don't know who what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. 2018 is going to have a bunch of ordinary days. It's going to have a bunch of joys, no doubt. But 2018 is also going to have some waves that we don't know about. They're going to be big waves. They could be. They could be strong waves. They could be cold waves. They're going to come. They could come from a multitude of different directions. We just don't know. But what I do know, what God has led us to, is He wants us to prepare for 2018, whatever it may hold, to prepare. There's a certain wisdom in the whole idea and the concept of preparation, because it's exactly when we do it. We do it before it happens. Some of us have a bad habit of waiting till we're in the middle, wishing we had gotten ready for that storm a long time earlier, and we didn't. God is calling you and me to have a wisdom, to know that 2018 is going to have storms. And so that we in His wisdom are led to take some steps to prepare now, today, for 2018 and whatever it may hold. So we're calling this series Holy War. We're going to focus on that for like the next 2 months. Holy War, here's the title underneath, Holy War, is we're going to prepare for 2018 by deepening our collective understanding and experience of praise. Those are significant words. We're going to prepare for the storms of 2018 that we do not know are coming at this point. We're going to prepare by deepening our collective experience and understanding of praise. Collective is a key word. We're going to do this together on Sunday mornings. Understanding is a key word. We're going to go into the Word of God and we're going to understand some key principles from His Word, and then we're going to experience that in a deep way, in a new way, in a fresh way. And by the way, if you think that subtitle is, I'd like you to try to remember that as a key thing. Let's just read that together. Preparing for 2018. All right, I surprised you, I know. All right, let's read this together out loud. Here we go. Preparing for 2018 by deepening our collective understanding and experience of praise. Now, just in case you think that's a lot and you're starting to mumble and complain already about how long that is, and having, let me remind you of a title of a message that Jeff Howard brought to our attention just a year ago. Here's another one. Here's another subtitle. This is the title of a message. A humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people, an extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. That was the title of a message by Jonathan Edwards. So I don't want to hear any grumbling and complaining about our relatively short title. But God does want us to prepare by making sure that we are meaningfully and regularly in three environments. The first environment is this, simply, you're in something small. Preparing for the storms of 2018 means that God is calling us to get involved in something small. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul is writing to the brothers and sisters in the city, said, if someone is caught up in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Watch yourselves or you will also be tempted. Here's the verse, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What an amazing, important encouragement. Carry each other's burdens. When we walk through 2018, we don't know what it's going to hold. The waves are going to come, but we can be next to each other. We can be close to each other in those waves so that we carry the burdens of those waves together so that the weight of that feels halved instead of the whole thing. How essential is that? Here's another whole list in the scriptures in the New Testament. There's listed about 12 or 13 one another's. We have this up. Think about these being real in your life over the course of 2018 as we prepare, that we greet each other. There's a friendliness as we come to one another, that we're deferring to one another. We're bearing with one another with all of our mix-ups. We bear with one another. The next one, that we forgive each other. We confess our sins. We pray for each other. We serve each other. We encourage each other. The next one, thank you, Joel, that we comfort each other and that we bear the burdens of each other. And then the last one, that when we're messing up, that we have the courage and the love and the wisdom to stir one another up and to admonish one another. These are all in the scriptures, one another's, that are very important for us as we weather storms, that we're close to one another, and these one another's are active in our relationships. But you know as well as I do, these one another's are best lived out in small environments. Yes, these things all happen to some degree, like now on Sunday mornings. To a degree, yes, not to be minimized. But they are best and most deeply experienced in small. The speaking team is far more than just a speaking team. We get together once a month, and we begin at about 7:30, and sometimes we end at 10, sometimes we don't end till 11. A good hour and a half upward sometimes of that time as a speaking team, we are doing this. We share, we pray, we admonish, we encourage, we confess. There's storms in our lives, and that happens in a deep, in a real way, but it's small. It's not large. It's small. So God is calling you and me to think about, oh, are you in small? Have you made that decision? Have you made that choice? Have you made that statement a priority? Are you in small? It could be informal. It could be one or two or three friends. It could be a small group. It could be a home group. It could be a Bible study. Could be a multitude of things. But one of the questions that crossed my mind as I was preparing for this is for us to contemplate, why not? If you're not in small, have you reflected on why you're not? My good friend Paul Simon came to mind. Listen to how he helps us reflect on what might be keeping you from small. We're not going to listen to the whole song, but we're just going to listen to part of it.
Tuesday, in a deep and dark December, I'm
That's good, Joel. Thank you. What are the walls? He goes on to say, I won't disturb the slumber, the feelings that have died about being loved. If I've never loved, I never would have cried. I'm a rock. I'm an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I'm a rock. A rock feels no pain and an island never cries. Is that hearkening? Is that bringing up anything in your experience, anything of why you may not be in small right now? Those are significant words. We each have significant pain. We might have tried small, and we got hurt. And that hurt is deep, and it's real. And you might have just sworn off, no more small for me. I'm just staying big. It's too painful. That may be your experience, and I do not diminish that. But I encourage you that small may be the very vehicle in which God speaks to you to heal that pain, to help you not put up those fortresses and those walls, to help you not stay in your room and hide, but that you risk small again. I don't know who that is. When these things come to my mind, I'm just confident in preparation that this is for somebody here. That God is encouraging you to risk small again. Very important for the waves, the storms coming up. What is the next step for you in small? Is it letting somebody know, letting Dean know, home groups, myself, somebody? What is the next step that God might be calling you to take? The second environment that is essential for us anticipating storms in 2018 is simply this, serving. 1 Peter 4:10. Peter writes this, the end of all things is near, just a little context before we get to 10. Therefore, be alert, sober, so that you pray. Above all else, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Here it is in verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. One of the environments that God is calling you and me to in 2018 to prepare for storms is a serving environment. If you said yes to Jesus, you have a gifting from the Holy Spirit. And that gifting is to be stewarded and to be lived out. When we live out our giftings, it gives us a sense of God's presence and pleasure in a strong way. And in the middle of a storm, that's important, that we're serving even in the storm, and we're reminded God is with us. He is using us. Serving in the middle of storms is important and good and healthy. But the other thing that serving in the middle of storms does for us is it takes our eyes off of ourselves. You know as well as I do that when we hurt, when we're in pain, when we're going through storms, it's very easy to get very inwardly focused. I understand that. I do that. And serving forces the eyes of our heart to be out from ourselves and our pain. It's essential when we're going through storms to be in an environment we have to think about others. It's one of the reasons I'm thankful for our council meetings. Yes, thankful for council meetings. Twice a month. Because what that does is on a regular basis forces me out of my fatigue in the evening. I start getting tired around 7:30 in the evenings. There's times when I don't want to go to that meeting. But I can honestly say before you today, there's never been a time that I am sorry at the end of that meeting for having been there. Because what God has done is He has forced me to think about you. And he has forced me to think about the ways that He's working in our midst. And that, on a regular basis, is vital for me. For the weekly storms, the regular storms, I need to get. So if you are not in a serving environment right now, why not? We are actively working in our council right now. In fact, it's an assignment we're to do by the end of this month, is that we are to delineate as ministry leaders what are the various opportunities within the various ministry positions here at Christ Community where we need people to be plugged in using their giftedness. We're actively detailing those. So there's mutual responsibility here. We need to do that as leaders. We need to open doors and say, come, you need to be, we need your gifting. If you're here, you're gifted, we need you. God has purposes for you. The other responsibility lies with you to take the initiative and to say, I know I have giftedness. I have something from the Spirit of God that He wants to be used here. And it's on you to take that step. If you're not in a serving environment now, it's on both of us, leadership and you both. So what is it? What's the next step for you in the serving environment? And then the third environment is the gathered environment. Small is essential. Serving is essential. But then gathered is essential. For when we walk through storms, we've got to be together in a large way as well. I'm going to give you a quick run through of how God historically, from the beginning of His people's existence, Israel, has demonstrated this. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, they have just been in Egypt for 400 years as slaves. Their identity was defined by slavery. And then they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Their identity was defined by rebellion. And now God is getting ready for them to cross the Jordan under Joshua's leadership and head into the promised land. And Deuteronomy is a reminder from Moses of some of the very important things that the people of Israel needed to remember as they entered the promised land. Listen to what he says in chapter 12, verse 4. You must not worship the Lord your God in the way that you will see others in the land that you're going into, but you are to seek the place. God is calling them to a place. You must seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put His name there for His dwelling. To that place you must go. There, bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifice, your tithes, your special gifts, what you have vowed to give in your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat, shall rejoice in everything that you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. From the very beginning, as He's establishing this new identity among His people, He is calling them to a place. And then in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus has gone back to heaven and the Spirit of God has come, He again is defining the people following Him by calling them to a certain activity. Listen to this. The followers of Jesus, after Jesus had left, the Spirit had come and indwelt them, says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their property, their possessions, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together, notice these two places, in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So not only did Israel in Deuteronomy being called to a place, in Acts they were called to the temple courts as well as to their homes, small and large. But then Revelation 19, we talked about the past, the Deuteronomy, the current, what we're to do right now. But this is our destiny. This is where we're headed. Revelation 19. After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah. Read the rest of those verses. That's our destiny. Large multitudes being gathered together shouting, Hallelujah. That's where we're headed. Gathered communities, gathered together as followers of Jesus Christ, is essential as we enter the storms of 2018. Something important and something special happens when the people of God sing the praises of God in the presence of God. Can you remember that? Let's try that one more. Something important and special happens when the people of God sing the praises of God in the presence of God. Something special happens. Something important happens when we gather. That doesn't happen when it's just small. Doesn't happen just one-on-one. Something important, something special happens when we gather together. And so that's why we're going to focus on seven Hebrew words. We have the list up real quick. There they are. These words are going to change your life. They will in many ways. But these are the seven Hebrew words. You can take those down. We're going to take each of those one a week. Next week, we'll take the first one. And we're going to flip the order of the service because we're going to focus on understanding first what that word means in the scriptures. And then we will experience, we will practice it. So we're going to flip the service order over the next 2 months. The teaching will begin earlier, and then we will practice for most of the time some of what God is speaking to us about these seven words. This fascinates me. The first time I heard about the whole reality of the Greek language, you know, when we say love, we say love in a multitude of different ways. And you know that the Greek language has four different words for love, to give nuance, to give meaning. Agape, eros, storge, phileo. All of them have very important nuances by God's wisdom to understand the fullness of love. So it's not just one word, it's four. And I'm blown away that the Hebrew language has seven words for praise. Seven different words for praise. That means God in his wisdom says, I'm going to describe for you how I want you to praise and celebrate me seven different ways. So we're just going to focus on each of those once a week, and we're going to understand it and then practice it. So one, couple steps, get the book. Go ahead and get Holy War. You've seen it. It's back there. We mentioned $15. If things are tight, don't worry about the $15. If you have none, take it. If you have five, if you have 10, it doesn't matter. Just get the book, order it, Kindle, whatever the case is, get it so you can read it, contemplate quietly. The small groups, home groups, are going to be doing the discussion questions afterwards. But here's the other deal. And honestly, you were interesting, better than I expected this morning, but let's work on being on time. Let's work on the first of the year. Let's just say this is kind of a fresh start. Let's back up our estimations of when we arrive. Let's go for 15 minutes earlier. Just back it up for 15 minutes. And here I am humbled. I know I was going to share this, and I got here 5 minutes after I wanted to be this morning. I shoot for a quarter of as being late. I didn't get here till 10 of. I think God I'm responsible. I did that. It's my schedule. I made choices this morning. But he wanted me to humbly come before you this morning as one who couldn't even get it right this morning to encourage you to back things up 15 minutes, to encourage us to be. Let's just work at that. We do this periodically, most every year, maybe a couple times. You have soft hearts. You don't have hard hearts. We just need to be encouraged to sharpen up our schedule some. So let's do that. But then the last why. One why is in Hebrews chapter 10. As I read 10, verses 19 down through 25, just note, look for the words faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. In 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, he summarizes the greatest. He says, when all else goes, there's going to be faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Watch for that as we read this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, being Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. the deep one why in my heart for us, for you, is I want you to have fresh courage. Fresh courage. Every single week. That you come here in the middle of the storms, whatever they might be, maybe little, maybe big, whatever it is, that every single week that we walk in here on Sunday morning together, that God moves in our experience together, that the Spirit of God gives us fresh hope, fresh ability to trust, fresh encouragement to hope, to trust, and to love. This was crystallized in my experience last Sunday morning. I'm sitting in the ER room with Mom and Dad. Dad's 88, not doing well. He's not comfortable. He has yet to spend one day in the hospital until that last weekend. First time he had spent a weekend in the hospital in 88 years. He was not super happy. He didn't want to be there. There was all sorts of uncertainty. His blood pressure had gone up. His skin had gotten real clammy. We really didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was going on. This was really early on in the whole deal. And he's sitting up and I'm seeing him and he's quoting scripture with his eyes closed. He goes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I thought of Brian's dad. One of the last things Brian's dad did before he saw Jesus was he was singing hymns. Top of his lungs. You see, when we get squeezed, we find out what's inside of us. We're going to get squeezed this year. And I want us to prepare now to meet every single day in a fresh way, to see God move in us, to celebrate Him, to put Him front and center and highest, so that we come in and every single week our courage is refreshed to trust, to hope, and to love again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for understanding what we need for 2018. Father, you are sovereign over 2018. You are timeless. You've already known and seen these days. And Father, we walk into 2018 with that confidence that nothing will surprise you this year. You will be with us. You will guide us. But Father, help us to grow and deepen in our collective understanding of what it means to understand and to experience what you have for us as we celebrate you, as we put you front and center at the highest place, and we celebrate you every week. Father, help us do this by your grace and your power. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus, amen.